Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hey, I'm Christine Marie.
Yes, you are, and I'm Julie. Hi, everyone.
And you know, we like to say more life with the girlfriends because isn't that what we're all about? We want everyone to have more life, more joy, more peace, more happiness, just more of all the good stuff.
Oh, exactly.
Not more of the bad stuff.
No. And what we focus on expands, so we like to expand our focus on the good stuff of life.
You know, honey, it's really good being here with you today.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
And, you did. You called me Mom. That's great. I was just going to tell the audience. We're mother
and
daughter.
Thank you, Christine Marie, or CM, as some people call you.
Yeah, hey, CM.
Never mind. I always laugh when people's initials are always BJ. Like BJ and the Bear, BJ and the Bandit.
And I was just going to say that we're a PG-rated show.
Yeah. We still are.
We still are.
Exactly. We still are PG-rated. That's awesome.
So what's been going on with us? We've had a little, I love it when people say, I've taken a hiatus.
And that's what we're going to call it.
And we've been on a little bit of a hiatus.
We first of all didn't say who we were. We're coaches.
Yes.
You know, we're mother and daughter. We also, you're a certified therapist,
yes,
counselor. I'm a former teacher. We've owned some businesses, and
we're authors. We're authors of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Clutterfly Effect.
And we love being here together, chatting,
absolutely,
having a good time.
And I've missed that.
Me too.
Yeah, I've
missed you're right. It. We have been on hiatus for a while.
Yes. Want to talk about it?
I do.
since this is life with the girlfriends, let's talk about what's been going on with our life.
Well, it's very interesting because literally it feels like we've missed a whole season of this year.
Yes.
Due to different kinds of illnesses.
Yeah.
And I was just thanking God today. I said, you know, God, what you've showed me is that things can happen and yet recovery can occur and you could feel better than you did before.
Right.
It's just a natural, just like, okay, a little bump in the road.
Right. Just a little bump.
A quarter of a year gone. But that's okay. And during that time, it was nice to focus on other things, mm-hmm, and really expand my mind and renew my mind. Mm-hmm. But we started off with you being sick, and we missed all the holidays.
We missed
Thanksgiving.
We
through
missed
Krista,
the holidays. Yes.
For being sick.
Yes.
And just off and on, hit and miss, and it was just crazy.
Right. And in general, though, I appreciated it in some way. I had made the holidays. I missed them, you know, missed being with the family and, mm-hmm, and friends, and we always have a big party and, mm-hmm, all that good stuff. So I got to miss it. And sometimes,
right,
you always think, oh, if I have to do one more year of this, you know, bringing out the ham and all that stuff.
So can I remind you next November 1st?
Right.
That in February, in March, and April, you were really kind of missing the fact that you were sick over the holidays.
Yes, exactly.
Because there is that natural pressure, mm-hmm, that puts on the family,
yes,
when holidays are approaching. Even though it's just literally 2 or 3 days out of the whole,
right,
2 months.
Right.
But there's just that pressure.
And there's the expectation that you're supposed to be happy.
Right.
Joyful. And I was feeling a little bit curmudgeon-y this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that was reflected in, but thank God for antibiotics.
Exactly.
You know, I'm well and all that now. But from there, we went right into the Normano thing. And,
right,
and for those of you who don't know Normano is my husband, and he's Norman.
Yes. But we Storm and Norman.
He's Storm and Norman, but we refer to him as Normano.
Yes.
Normano.
And I've got a couple of cute
father
stories about him a day.
But on, and here's the wild thing. In February, the first part of February of last year, he was in Michigan, and we get a call from, you know, somebody saying, hey, your husband's had a heart attack, you know.
Right.
And so we went off the air, a hiatus. For I don't know how long, but it was
at least, yeah,
a couple of months, maybe.
It felt like
yes. Yeah, while he was, you know, recuperating.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the first week of February this year, he came home after a long, long day at work.
Yes.
And it had been that one of those weird snow evenings, and mm-hmm. so you can't see anything. He came home, it was 3 a.m., and had a bite to eat or whatever, and then laid down on his side, and I was up because
he wasn't home.
He got me up, yeah. too, you know. So I'm just watching something on the television, and he just sits up, and he says, I'm really dizzy. And he was sleeping, came right. from a sleeping position. Right. And he tried to get up, and he literally just couldn't get up. And so, you know, I called you in, and you came down from upstairs. And,
right.
And probably after 10 minutes, he just said, call an ambulance.
Not even for 10 minutes. I think no. it was 1 minute later, he says, you need to call an ambulance now.
But we thought, are you having another heart attack?
Right, we had no idea.
I think he might have thought that
right.
as well.
Right, and once you've had one, Everything's
coalesces.
Judged by that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this feels worse than that. There's something really bad must be going
right,
on.
Right, right.
And that's what he said. He goes, I've never felt so bad in my entire life.
Yeah, later on he
and
did
so
say
we
that.
Live out in the middle of the country. In a right. subdivision, but right. it's in the country.
It's in this country. It's a good 20 minutes from the city.
Yes, the city.
And the city of Dixon.
Yes.
Dixon, Illinois.
And it was so cute because we had first responders come.
Yes.
And I didn't know what that meant exactly, but what it was my neighbor.
Yeah. First responders are the people who want to get in your business.
Exactly.
Want to get in your business in the neighborhood.
And I've always heard this. And if I knew it was her coming yeah. as a first responder,
yeah.
I mean, luckily, Dad had
put
on some pants boxer
on Daddy.
Pants.
Yeah.
But he had those boxer
right.
underwear, you know.
Right.
But, box you know, of briefs, right.
Yeah, it's your neighbor.
But it's your neighbor. And so she comes in first as the first responder. I'm like, I would have at least attempted to put on his, you know, sleeping camos, you know.
That's his camo pants.
And yet I know that people talk about this all the time, that when the ambulance comes,
people are half-dressed.
People are always half-dressed. And most likely, I mean, like right now, I'm half-dressed. I'm in a muumuu. I'm in my night muumuu. You know, but I guess.
Yeah. And it was funny because the position that Dad was in that he could not move from,
no.
he was standing, his legs were standing up, his head was on the bed.
His torso was on the bed, yeah.
So his torso was on the bed. He could not move from that.
No.
And so he's got his rear end up in the air with
yep.
his little boxer shorts on.
Yep. Are really tidy whities? I'm not sure at this moment.
I don't know.
He has
either.
Both kind. Yes. It's a blur. I've chosen not to remember
right.
this.
And he at that point, you know, I'm in the bedroom, and he said, "Go to the living room."
Yes.
He tells me to go to the living
before
room
before anybody shows up.
Before anybody shows up.
And it takes the first responders. Good. It feels like forever.
Right.
But I think it was at least 10 to 15 minutes.
Easy.
And then you know, so
then we wait. I go, "Hey, somebody's here! Thank God!" And it's our neighbor.
It's our neighbor.
And she's like, hey, hi.
Hey, guys. Where's he?
Where's the guy at? I think she had some oxygen with her.
Right.
Or
and
something.
Then another gentleman came in an old ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
He was another first responder.
First responder. And he comes walking in like,
right.
hey, dude, how you doing?
And then the ambulance comes.
Yes.
And it was funny because I was really anticipating hearing noise.
Right.
And
nothing.
And I'm like, I'm outside waiting. I'm talking to the 911 operator, and I go, I hear nothing. I go, I hear trains. I hear nothing. And he goes, they're probably not using their sirens because it's the middle of the night.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
And there's
right.
no need.
Right.
They're not, you know, they're not warning the deer to get out of the, out of the way. Deer, get out of the way now. Move. You know.
So finally they come, and they don't bring the gurney or anything. They just walk in.
Yeah.
And
assess what's going on.
Yeah. And I'm just in the living room with Elliot.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of
throwing up, major yeah. throwing up.
Yeah. So
major.
Now we know that Norm's like so dizzy.
Yes.
That
we don't know what's going on with him yet.
No, we
had
don't.
No idea.
We don't know the diagnosis yet.
Mm-hmm. We just know he's never felt so bad.
Right.
And he feels so bad that he can't lay down flat.
He's still in that position.
He's still in the position. Somehow they get him into a chair, then into a gurney of
mm-hmm.
some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally 50 minutes later,
yes.
they're out of the house. Eric, right. from the time we called
right.
to the time they left the house.
I looked at the time. It was 10 to 4.
Yeah.
It was 10 to 4. It didn't seem like hours. It just
right.
seemed like forever.
And then we get in the car and we follow.
Right.
And we just, you know, we're like, okay, praying.
Mm-hmm.
No, can, you know,
and
confessing,
really,
knowing it's going to be okay.
And they said, you know, you can come in when he's admitted.
Right.
And that was like 3 hours later. Wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yes. Yes, for sure. Well, I couldn't see him. Yes, I couldn't see him in the emergency
room. So
we were in
town for like 3 hours. We went and we got coffee at McDonald's. I think we even got
parfait. We went to get breakfast at McDonald's.
Yeah, we just didn't know what to do with ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, and finally...
Because I tell you what I'm not going to do is sit in an emergency room waiting room.
No.
Waiting. I will just sit in my car.
Right.
Not that I mind it, but there's no slower time in the world
than
just sitting there.
Yeah.
And so...
So fast forward, though, I think...
And can I say something really quick?
Sure.
Gratefully, we have a nice hospital because the woman said, I'll give you a call and you can come see him.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I don't know if any hospital in Cook County. I'm just saying. I don't know for sure.
Not for sure, but would
they
do that?
I'm not sure if they would take my number down and then give me a call as soon as I can see my dad.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Exactly. So, but really, it was really in the afternoon at some time that we actually got a diagnosis of vertigo, severe vertigo.
And then
I never really heard of that.
No, so it's
except for the movie, the Hitchcock movie.
And how it happened was so weird. I mean, and once they had a diagnosis of vertigo, then they had to go, okay, now we have to figure out why you had vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's different types. Caused by something worse
and
than
there
what
was
he
this,
has?
Then there was this battery of tests that took a couple of days, I thought.
Right. And he literally for the first 24 hours, every time I went and saw him, his eyes were clenched really tight, closed.
Right.
And that was I did that when I said that, and so of course my eyes hurt me now. I clenched my eyes really tight because that was the only way he could survive without getting really dizzy and throwing up. But it was so weird because the nurse, I would check in and call her too, or I talked to her after I left, and she's like, oh, every time I go in there, he's just sleeping. And I said, I just need to let you know, he is not sleeping. You can talk to him. He's just sick. And one time when I left, he goes, you can go now. I'm like, okay, great. And as soon as I left, I hear this huge heaving.
Yeah.
And by this time, he has nothing in his stomach.
No. He couldn't even look at food.
The nurse is looking at me going, is that your dad? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I think it's my dad. Let's go check on him and make sure.
Yeah.
Or I'll walk away and let you check on him.
He, ever since I've known him, he has had a sensitive stomach.
Aw, poor little guy.
So I think it really affected, the vertigo really affected his stomach.
And it's so interesting.
I'm getting dizzy just talking about it like this. That's crazy.
It was interesting because since he's had it, more people have told him that they've had episodes like this.
Yes, well, the doctor
that
came in, I think it was the second day to see him, nice, nice guy.
Right.
And he said, oh, my God. He goes, I had it for about 8 or 9 days. He goes, it's the worst.
It's the worst.
And so people started telling us that this would go away after, a few days. And
once he had all the battery of tests done.
And everything was
It became benign vertigo.
Right. The diagnosis was benign vertigo.
Right. And that was really interesting.
Yeah.
And
so he was in the hospital for over a week.
Yes.
And then we started saying, well, we're gonna let him go.
Right.
We can't find anything wrong with him.
And it was interesting.
He's supposed to get better in a couple of days.
He will get better. Their criteria to let him go was he had to be able to walk up the steps to the house.
Right.
So he had to make it up three steps to get into his house, to get to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And if he could do that without falling over, They could release him.
Yes.
So they started practicing that and they got him there. And we got him home.
I was just like in disbelief. You're letting this man out of the hospital?
Mostly you were just afraid, like, what am I going to do with this guy who has vertigo at the house?
I know. I didn't know what I was going to do.
But we survived. And it was interesting because he was sick until one day he wasn't.
I mean, that's how his recovery was.
Right.
We would say, are you better today? Because everybody would say, 8 or 9 days on the out, that's a long time, or take your meds.
Right.
And our doctor said, don't take any medicine.
Right. The one doctor said, don't take any medicine because it prevents the brain from recovering quicker.
Right.
Because once they found out it was benign, and the way the ENT talked about it, because he then has to, after
ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Ear, nose, throat doctor, which you saw two of them. Different bedside manners, by the way.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yes, and not different prognosis, but different care. It was very interesting because I went to his appointments with him, and the first one.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome. I knew. You had asked me. You said, the last thing I want to do.
The very last thing.
This is why I'm here. I don't mind this. And so I remember seeing, you know, so he saw one in the hospital, and this is an older gentleman, and who's only works 2 days, 2 weeks a month, mm-hmm. and is gone the other 2 weeks mm-hmm. of the month.
But he's cool.
But he's very cool, yeah, very nice.
Very nice.
And then there's another doctor who's a little younger, maybe in his 50s. And the first time we saw the doctor at his office, he was like, yeah, you're fine. It's benign. I know you're really sick. You know, another 1.5 to 3.5 to 4 more weeks, you'll be fully recovered.
Yeah.
And that we don't know why.
Buck up.
And buck up. Start doing stuff. Mm-hmm. Start doing your exercises, which they didn't tell us initially what to do.
We had to look online. Thank you, YouTube.
Thank you, YouTube.
Thank you, YouTube.
Thank you, the physical therapist who put those online for my dad.
Yes, thank you.
And
at least it gave him something to do, you know?
It did. It gave him something to do to say, I'm doing something.
Have you done your eye exercises? Have you done your exercises?
Exactly, exactly. So he did that. And
1 week
but
passes.
It was funny because the doctor at that point did say, you've got a lot of wax in your ear, and did nothing about it.
Right, right.
Did nothing about it, just commented. And he
as if that may not have anything to do with
what was going
with the
vertigo.
On.
And he had Then 4 weeks later, we had a checkup because he still wasn't getting any better. I mean, mm-hmm. But it was interesting. The week before his appointment with the other doctor,
right?
He had an appointment with the other doctor, but they canceled.
Right, they called and canceled.
They canceled. Yeah, and I said, "Well, listen, my dad needs to see the doctor immediately. Whenever he comes back, he needs to be his first appointment because he's not getting any better from his vertigo."
Mm-hmm. This point, it's been how many weeks, Julie?
We're looking at 6 weeks.
Yeah. And so we're off with life with a girlfriend for these 6 weeks.
We kind of decided that would be just.
Yes.
I think we could have done it, though, but it was a nice. It would have been a nice break to go and focus on that for an hour or so.
I felt like it was what we needed to do.
Exactly. And then after that, though, from that time, I said, we have to have the next appointment.
Mm-hmm. Which was like a week later, maybe?
Yes, the time we had the appointment, Dad had made a pretty close recovery. I mean, started feeling really good.
Yes. I mean, in essence, the first time he went to the doctor, a wheelchair man had to come out, take him out of the van.
Yeah, he couldn't get out of the car by himself.
And all that. And the second time, he just walked up himself.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the difference.
That was a difference.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so this doctor, the retired doctor, the semi-retired doctor, he said, you're great. Can you go back to work? You're doing fine. He said, the more that you do, the better you'll get. And he said, well, let me just look in your ears, by the way, you know. And what did he find, Julie?
A ton of wax.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, because that's what happened.
Are you saying that's what happened?
No, because the gentleman told the other doctor said there was a lot of wax in there.
Right, right.
You know, so.
And he goes, let me do something for you.
Exactly. Let me do something for you.
And really, Jill, the way you described it, I almost lost my lunch.
There was so much wax in there. They were pulling it out I'm not kidding. It felt like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, after pulling wax out.
This is the part where I think what you're going to say made me nauseous.
Well, then the doctor pulled out some more wax. He goes, look what we're pulling out.
See, Julie, look at all we're pulling out.
And he says, you know, it's just old wax and hair. I'm like, for heaven's sakes. Just stop this. Stop
please.
This now.
No more.
Exactly. No more. No more talking about this, please. So, yada, yada, yada.
Shish, boom, bah. That's what happened to us.
That's what happened to
us. That's our hiatus.
Right. So literally, it felt like we lost a quarter of a year.
Yes.
Just dealing with illnesses. Yes. Now, other things, you know, your life doesn't stop.
No.
But what stops is the focus that you had on
or the continuity or the groove that you get in.
The momentum.
The momentum, all that stuff is lost.
Exactly.
And yet you have to sort of stay in the flow. And at that point, you know, what on the hierarchy of what matters, it gets real clear real fast, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. And then you see other people who, you know, have parents they have to take care of or are pushed in between children and parents and a lot of
stuff.
And I
have much compassion.
I mean,
this was only a quarter of our life. And a quarter of the year before that.
Right.
So in essence, it's been half a year the last year
right,
and a half.
Right, exactly.
It really brought up information for me of having more of a flexible life, first of all.
Right.
And I had much compassion for Doug, whose Doug's siblings care for his mom.
Right.
Yes.
Your guy.
Yeah. And who has a mother who's basically bedridden. And
she's in hospice.
In hospice, but has been for over a year at least. Mm-hmm. And he also has an adult brother who's mentally handicapped or mentally challenged. And so there's just a lot of care going on. Mm-hmm. And you realize that families, I don't want to say give up or, give up a lot to take care of family members. Mm-mm. It's not that at all.
It's not that.
No.
Because but you realize the courage it takes or the commitment it takes,
And and without giving it much thought.
The grace it takes.
Right. The grace.
Yeah.
The courage. And you feel, for me, I feel that we were giving much grace during that whole time.
Yes.
And I don't consider it lost time.
No, not at all.
I mean, I consider it that we built deeper relationships with each other.
Yes.
Which was nice.
And we've got deeper wisdom.
Deeper wisdom.
Because of that.
But I have much compassion because I really did feel like, okay, there's going to be an end date and things can get back to normal.
Right. And there are some people that don't have that.
No, they don't have that end date.
Right.
This is just the new norm.
Right.
And we chose to see Dad completely healed.
Right.
We have a family mission statement that we read every morning, twice, in the morning, at night. Anytime we can, we have a mission statement.
And that, by the way, just have you noticed that that's getting longer and longer?
It's getting longer and longer. And it's funny because there's things in the mission statement that have come to
already
pass.
Come to pass, yeah.
And I don't know if I should take those off the mission statement or it's like a way of saying,
no, I like
it. Hey, yeah. I appreciate the fact that these came to pass.
Right.
Thank you. But we just stand firm that we believe that this will, he will be healed, completely healed, better than before.
It's kind of funny and cute in a way. Elliot, our little Wheaton Terrier, he's just a pup, but his morning time is always on the family bed together.
Yeah.
And when we read our mission statement, we have a tendency to go kind of balls to the wall and
exactly.
We raise our hands.
Yes.
We raise our hands, like hallelujah. And this morning, Elliot was laying on the bed and it came time to read our mission statement, and we all put our hands, in the air, and Elliot rolled on his back and put his paws up in the air.
Yes.
Oh,
it was
MG.
So awesome. So awesome.
I just little guy. And when we were done, he just rolled over and put him back down.
Yeah.
I don't know how brilliant he is.
He's smart.
I was like, that is so darling. Mm-hmm.
I want to talk more about Elliot. I might want to talk a little bit more about Daddy as well.
Yes.
But I want to just tell everybody out there right now that we've created a new ebook for everybody to get a hold of. It's free. And a new video.
You mean it's F-R-E-E?
Yes. I would call it a freemium.
It's a premium.
It is a premium.
It's a
we
premium.
We worked hard on this.
Yes.
I think we were working on this while Dad was recovering.
Absolutely.
It got our focus. So,
absolutely. Thank God for that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Thank God for that. And it's called, so we create two videos.
Right.
And an ebook for this product. It's free for you. Go to theclutterflyeffect.com.
Theclutterflyeffect.com. Hey,
that
happens to be
the name of our blog.
Of our Amazon number one
bestseller in our category. Yay. That felt good.
Theclutterflyeffect.com.
Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And so anyway, go there. It's called The 7 A's. You want to tell the title?
Yeah, The 7 A's. How to get what you want without breaking a sweat.
Exactly. How to get what you want without breaking a sweat. A lot of good wisdom there. And
100%.
Because here's the deal. The truth is we all worry. We all sweat way too much.
Way too much.
And we sweat way too much for not getting anything either.
Well, remember in The Bridge of Spies?
Yes,
I do remember.
Yes.
And, Tom Hanks going, you're not worrying. You're not fretting over this. You're not breaking a sweat. And the guy goes, would it help?
Yeah, would it help?
Would it help? And we now know that.
No, it wouldn't help.
No. So we're saying how to, the seven A's, how to get what you want without breaking a sweat.
Exactly. Exactly.
So go to theclutterflyeffect.com. Mm-hmm. And get your free.
Put your little name in. Get your free. Video. Now, there might be two videos there for the seven A's.
That's okay.
And that's okay. You get one video, and that's the first two A's. And then the other video, they're both about 7 to 10 minutes long.
Correct.
Right in there.
Correct.
Didn't take an exact measurement of the time.
Right. But we won't, we will never take too much of your time.
Well, and I think it's worth every bit of it, hopefully.
Absolutely.
We intend.
Yeah.
That when you're done with them, that you can at least, you feel renewed. And enough to know that, hey, what you want wants you, first of all, mm-hmm. and that you don't have to break a sweat. And we mean by that the worry, the
right,
pressure,
right.
the disappointment that we feel.
Which adds an element to that that's not a positive.
And we're about adding more
more life, more joy.
Not the other way.
And, you know, we also have another bonus for them with when they get that video, the seven A's.
Yes, we do.
And it's a visualization.
And you will hear Mother's lovely voice.
Oh, thanks, Jules.
I love it. Well, you know what?
I've got my master's degree in counseling psychology. You're a teacher. We're coaches. I have a number of certificates. We should put the back of our book that tells everything
right.
that we are. So people get an idea that we're not just going to do this and pull this. What does Frank Kern say? Rectally extracted.
Yes.
No, we're not going to do that. So this visualization is based in good, solid, psychology.
Yes.
On how to boost and amp. To get what you want without breaking
right.
a sweat.
A lot of times just resting in what you're doing, mm-hmm. which I know sounds counterintuitive.
Right.
How do I rest and do at the same
yeah.
time?
But you know what? It's a practice.
It really is.
It really is a practice. I know that, for example, yesterday we had a lot on our plate, you and I did, for the business. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a small kernel like, this is... how are we going to get this all done?
Right.
But I deliberately chose to rest in it. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised by like noon or one that we'd accomplished so much. And I had rested in it.
And can I say one thing? It was a good time. We had a joyous time.
We did.
I don't think I commented saying, hey, maybe we need to push back our timeline or this is taking forever.
I know. No, we didn't
say those things
because we know like, would it matter?
No, it wouldn't matter.
Would it matter?
We're doing the work. Would it matter? So enjoy but, this.
Yeah.
Enjoy
seven
days.
Enjoy our freemium.
Enjoy our freemium. Yes.
So go to theclutterflyeffect.com and pick up your freemium.
And hopefully by this, you'll be able to get to our blog, ChristineMarieAngeli.com, right
yes.
there from the Clutterfly Effect. Back in the swing of things and so forth.
And I'm really looking forward to this. I have so much joy in my heart over this.
Oh, me too. Me too. And so what I want to talk about today, we kind of hashed out what happened to us during our hiatus.
Hiatus,
exactly.
Hiatus.
what I want to talk about is... we're going to talk about a little bit about Elliot, and we have a little segment we're going to call Pillow Talk.
Yes.
Pillar Talk.
We call it Pillar Talk, but you'll hear it as Pillow Talk.
And, you know, we know what those pillars are, right? Those pillars are the body, the parts of our lives in different areas, right? Mm-hmm. We have our body, we have our family.
Financial, spiritual.
Business, spiritual, friends.
Relationships,
those pillars,
service,
and it's a nice way of just breaking it down. And today we're going to talk about friends and relationships, and
on our pillow talk,
and our pillow talk, exactly.
But now we're going to talk about Elliot.
I want to talk about Elliot a little bit.
Yeah, I love Elliot.
Yes, and Elliot is the luckiest dog in the world, and
he's our puppy. He's a year old.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Wheaton Terrier. And, you know, Julie, you've got to put a picture of him on Facebook.
I will, because he's just a doll baby.
Yeah. I call him Blueberry Man.
Because he's got these dark, dark...
two dark blue and eyes. They look like blueberries to
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Exactly. And so he came back yesterday. So anyway, our dog's so lucky. He gets to go away 2 days a week to a place called Play and Stay.
Play and Stay,
and
thank you.
Where he hangs out with other dogs and just stays there and plays.
And really, our neighbor, not next door, but in the complex here, she owns it.
Right.
And she has this darling little red van with big paws over it. And the number, and we just happened to see it one day, and we said, what is this?
Right.
We called her and said, what is this? And that was how, this was 6-7 months ago, maybe longer, that the relationship started. And so she, on her way to work, pops by, picks up Elliot, who's like, waits at the window with bated breath, can't wait to see the little red man. And she has four dogs of her own, and she picks them up in the morning, takes them, it's about an hour?
Yeah.
I mean, it's in La Salle, Peru.
Right. She drives an hour to her work.
Yeah. And then she owns this place.
Right. And then he hangs out there all day with other dogs.
He's just, and they have like little cabanas and they have this, they have pools. I mean, it's, he's like, he loves this.
And so,
I'm so grateful to be able to give this to him.
Yes. And so Monday he came back and he was gone a long time. She had to do some other errands and.
Yeah. It was like 8:30 at night, which is. Three hours longer than...
And he was not happy.
No.
His ear was torn up a little bit.
It was bleeding in his ear. His eyes look a little dazed.
Yeah.
Dazed and confused.
And he would not come in the house either initially. He was eating grass, which means he had a really bad upset stomach.
This is what Elliot does when he's not feeling good. He eats grass.
And so I have to watch everything he eats. He has to have a grain-free diet, plus the fact he likes to chew on plastic. Which is not good for his stomach because he likes to then throw up plastic. Mm-hmm. And it's just this never-ending thing. Or the one time he got the ham on the counter.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was not a good thing. Actually, Julie just turned her back and there was like a 5-pound ham on the counter. And he had eaten it all, basically.
Well, yes.
And when he threw it up, it wasn't even digested.
No.
It just came out like ham salad.
It did. Yeah. I mean, literally, it just chewed up places. And
if, like, you could say a meatloaf.
Ham loaf.
That's what it looked like.
And it was funny. I was telling someone about this, and she goes, or he goes, now, are you upset that he ate the ham or that it wasn't digested? I said, the truth of the matter is, once he ate the ham, the fact that it didn't even get digested really ticked me off. That really ticked me off.
Could you have at least enjoyed it? Had some nutrients go into you.
Because I know none of us is eating it now.
No.
But I literally, it didn't look bad. I thought to myself, if I was really hungry, I would have thought about
it. You might have done that.
Rinsed it off.
Yeah.
But luckily,
it's like how
I'm not
birds
that bad.
Feed their babies. Isn't that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's what happened. And so anyway, the woman talked to me a day. I love her.
When he came home with
yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
She's like, we got a little problem with Elliot. I'm like, oh no. What's going on? He goes, he's just not acting like himself. He's highly agitated and he's been snipping at people and dogs. I'm like, oh, I don't want to bite her. I mean, he's not a biter.
He's not a biter. That's totally not him.
Not him. And I said, well, I don't know what's going on. I mean, he's with one dog. He's just by himself here, and he's not doing anything like that.
Mm-mm.
And she wanted me to take him to the vet to see if anything's going on. And I know what that's all about, because the vet's going to say nothing.
Well, I remember one time the vet told us that our dog didn't have worms. And you said, but
so what are those things
coming out of her butt?
Yeah. I go, what are those things moving around her poo? And she goes, hold on a second. And she goes, oh, yeah, she's got worms.
So we know how that goes.
Yeah. So the test that you made me pay for that came back negative, but I can see there's things moving around her poo. Can I have a refund?
Yeah. Oh, no.
No. And so... I don't even know what to say because he loves it so much.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. This was a hard week for him. And I said, well, how many dogs were there today? And she's like, 31 dogs.
Wow.
And I said, well,
that could be.
That would make me nuts to have 31 dogs.
Yeah.
Because she said that he's looking behind his butt a lot, like, hey, who's behind there? Like, what you doing back there? You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking he just is overwhelmed with dogs.
Yeah.
31. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot.
He may have ADD a little bit, and he's a love muffin and adorable, But he may not be the sharpest tool in the shed.
Right. I mean, we did have two border collies, and that's a different breed altogether.
Yeah, they were extremely smart. They were smarter than us.
Well, yes, because I would play games with the border collies.
Yeah, and they'd outthink you.
What?
They'd outthink you.
They'd outthink me. Exactly. I would say, it's not there. And he's like, yeah, the ball's there. Yeah. Move the couch, will you please, Julie? Yeah. The ball's there. I'm like, oh, gosh. And I would move the back couch, yeah. And sure enough, the ball was there.
I remember one time he brought you a big stick to throw.
Yeah.
And you went, that's too big for me to throw. And you dropped it.
Give me a small one.
And
yeah.
He went and got a smaller stick. I'm like, a smaller stick. Wait, what?
I said, this dog, I just love this dog.
Yeah.
I can't even go there because I just miss him so much.
I know.
I have to say, it has been a lovely break.
Right.
Having Elliot.
Yes. But like I said, though, Elliot isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but he's adorable and a love muffin. And honestly, he wouldn't hurt a fly.
No.
So this was shocking, news that she told us. And then the subtext that she told us was, and if he nips someone or bites someone,
he can never come back. Which is like, hello.
Our spirits were just broken.
Yeah, I know.
Because we love seeing him so happy.
Right.
To go away. He waits at the window.
Right.
To see the little red van come to pick him up.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what do? You just feel sad, don't you? You just feel completely sad.
And so we just don't know what to do.
Right.
You know, you take him to a training class Mondays and Wednesdays. And I can remember our trainer's old school, and by that I mean she's 84.
Right.
So she's not all up to date on the newest thing.
No.
But Julie you were telling her this one story about Elliot. Poo or something.
Yes.
Like
well, there was a woman. There was a younger woman in class, and she had her little puppy there, and she had brought the fact that she's still eating poo. And she's like, well, some dogs do this, you know, and I was trying to kind of like, oh yeah, don't worry about my dog eats poo once in a while too. And then I go, one time he went out and it was dark. I was taking him for a walk and he ate some poo and I didn't know it, but I thought he was chewing on a stick because I don't want him to chew on anything because I don't want to throw up because he's got an upset stomach.
La-da-da-da-da.
And so I grab it and I grab what's in his mouth. And I'm like, oh, it was poo. And I was so nauseous. And then the trainer, who just said,
she just screams this.
She goes, oh,
that's so disgusting.
And she just kept saying it over and over again.
Dang.
I'm like, and then the woman that she goes, that happened to me too. I didn't know what it was. I just grabbed it out of his mouth and it was poo.
So like, you know, you were poo shamed.
I felt like I was poo shamed.
Yeah. That's not the first time we've been poo shamed. Well, we've been poo shamed with Elliot, but we've also been,
fur shamed?
I guess. What'd you say?
Fur shamed?
I think it's more like, you know, we're at the dog park and, you know, he's playing with other little dogs. And Elliot's a purebred.
Right.
He's a Wheaton Terrier.
Oh, yes.
And there's, you know, all the other dogs, you got to kind of go, oh, he's a mixture. And people will say,
he's a rescue dog.
He's a rescue dog.
He's a rescue dog. Yeah, dogs aren't mutts anymore.
No.
They're rescue dogs.
You paid for your dog? No. No.
Our dog's a rescue dog.
Our dog's a rescue dog. Like, what's wrong with you?
You How bought dare a, you not rescue a dog?
Yeah. So basically, we're rescue shamed.
Yes. How dare you get a breed? Now, I looked into this breed, and the main reason why we got this breed.
Yes.
Because he doesn't shed.
He doesn't shed.
Now, I tried to get a rescue terrier, a Wheaton Terrier, and the criteria for
we had to have a backyard. I mean, a fenced-in backyard.
Right.
Which they're not allowed here.
We're not allowed to have a fenced-in backyard
here.
Yeah,
so that, right away.
They said you cannot have a Wheaton Terrier if you don't have a fenced-in backyard.
Right, right.
And I'm like, I will just buy one.
Yeah.
Good work.
I mean, you really felt like.
Just like, how did, you know.
Yeah.
Forget it. And the idea that I didn't get a rescue dog, you know.
So, I mean, I want to say we tried.
We tried.
Not a heck of a lot.
No. I'm like, I tried for a second.
Yeah.
But I'm like, on to the next thing.
You don't have a rescue dog?
Exactly.
What is wrong with you?
Like, nothing's wrong. All right. Take a chill pill.
Right. So that's
And I appreciate
Elliot.
The fact that you wanted a rescue dog. Thank you.
Yes.
The world's a better place. Yes. We appreciate it. Yes. I will just give money to our local animal shelter. Yes.
Yeah. I can remember when our book came out and hit number one, theclutterflyeffect.com, or Clutterfly Effect.
Right.
Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life. And so we took about a dozen to our local animal shelter, which we donate to all the time. And we said, here, put these on your counter, mm-hmm. and whatever you get for them, because they sell for 15 or 13 or something like right. that on Amazon, just, you know, and take that money. And they went, no, thank you.
No, we're not going to do that.
No, we're not going to do that.
I'm like, okay.
Oh, well.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah. Moving on.
Really?
Yeah.
I wanted to do that.
Really? What you realize is that there's just some people who are just not open to anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, moving
well,
on.
Well, the people at Granny Rose, can I say, I guess I just said the name.
Yes.
But they are totally loving with animals. Human not beings, so, different story.
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much. That's all I'm going to say about
that. That's all you're going to say about
that. I'm not going to go there any further than
no
that.
No problem. Yeah. I get that. So that was our Elliot's Corner.
Yes.
And I want to now move into our pillow talk.
Pillow talk.
I'm gonna hopefully I'll edit this and insert yes. Doris
song.
Day.
Thank you.
Saying pillow talk.
Doris
I'm
Day.
I'm going to try.
Jill, that's old school. And but yeah, go
I'm
for
gonna,
it.
You know, yeah, that's I'm going to try and do that. We'll see if I can make that work
I think
or not.
You can do it, Jill.
So anyway, so we're going into pillow talk, everyone.
Thank you for inserting that song. I love
right.
it.
Right. And in between this, I just want to say, you can buy, since you mentioned the Clutterfly Effect, Mom, where can you get the Clutterfly Effect at?
I think the easiest place is to go to Amazon.com.
Yes, go to Amazon.
You probably get it next day.
Right.
And let us know if you do get it, just let us know, and we'll send you the lovely audio version.
And the way you do that is to talk to us at support. We're changing our email, everyone. Couple reasons why. Our email, I don't know how this happened, got hacked so badly with yes. incomings.
Yes, it got hacked.
That I probably have missed people's emails because mm-hmm. it's just page after page of
Viagra, dental school,
nursing school online.
I don't know.
I mean, everything.
Anything and everything.
Anything to the point where I just can't even deal with
it's
it.
It's just like...
I can't
it's
handle
like
it.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yes. And you may be
so
able to...
So support at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Support at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Let us know. Show us a receipt or it's just something.
Yeah.
And we'll send you the audio version and of the Clutterfly Effect. I just want to ask you, who does the audio version? Is it Morgan Freeman?
He does everything, but that's why we couldn't get him.
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
He does other stuff as well.
He does. He's playing OJ right
yes,
now.
Yes, he's been busy.
Yes, he's busy.
So who else could read the book written by Christine Marie and Julie but
could it be
Christine Marie and Julie?
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So you'll get that. You'll get that and you can listen to it in the car or while you're exercising.
A ton of different stuff. Yeah. A ton of different stuff.
Right.
And so forth. So, okay. So anyway,
and you get our pearls of wisdom. You'll get to have more life.
More life. More life. Exactly.
Pillow talk. Pillow talk. Hey, okay, that was awesome, Julie. The way that you, Doris Day, one of my que sera, sera. But she does pillow talk, and we
yes.
are going to introduce our segment. Pillar talk.
Pillar talk. The pillars of life.
P-I-L-L-A-R. And really, it is about the pillars of life. And this week, among the pillars, which are...
Well, family, career,
financial,
spiritual. It's funny.
Physical.
I learned these pillars a certain way. And then as I Google searched them, people have been adding pillars here, taking pillars away. So it's what you choose to make out of them. And so this
just
week,
like in Carrie, those dirty pillars.
Yeah. I don't know that. What is that?
Don't even go there.
Okay. Well, it was so funny because Mom was like, I know there's a song called Pillow Talk. We've got to have it. And so I YouTube it. Thank you, YouTube, for being around.
Yes.
And it was Zane, I think his name is,
right.
from One Direction. I'm
yes.
like, this cannot possibly
yeah, it
be
wasn't
what Mom
us.
Was talking about.
It wasn't what I was talking
no,
about.
No, and I said, and
it
I played a little
like
bit.
Us.
And I think he mentions the word pillow talk.
Once,
a minute and a half into it.
Right.
And I'm like, this cannot be it. And I go, is this what you're thinking of? She goes, No, it's a lot older.
I said, I think it's Doris Day.
I'm like, well, you could have told me that in the beginning, because then I could have easily just put Doris Day in there. And I'm sure if, you know, a month ago when his, you know, when his hot off the press, you know, MP3 hit the iTunes, I don't even know how it works anymore. I'm sure it would have, Doris Day would have came up for Pillow Talk.
Yes, it would have.
But now it's all Zane.
Yeah, it's all, thank you, Joseph.
And his hair.
Yeah.
All that good
stuff. So tell me about what pillar we're going to talk about today.
Friends and relationships. Because relationships can be a very broad category.
We're trying to fit it in one category.
Exactly.
Here. So and friends and relationships.
Yes. And we're talking about that in relationship to Facebook. About neighbors. I heard a situation. Doug's son-in-law, who I guess I've been with him for so long, he's, you know, they're family. I consider it all family. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how his brother, this is public knowledge because it's on Facebook. So I don't feel a problem talking about it.
So you're not telling stuff out of school.
I'm not dissing. but he was talking about how his brother had a little bit of a talk to from a neighbor. Just saying, hey, do you mind that Spring's here picking up all the dog poop from winter from your backyard because it's starting to smell?
This should have been in Elliot's corner.
No? Yeah, a dog. And
because this is what we have to do.
Right. And my kids walk through your backyard to get to the bus or whatever, playing or whatever, and they're coming back with just poo on their shoes every time.
Mm-hmm. And besides that, it's really starting to stink.
Right. I will have to say this. I've living out in the country and being near deer that poop in our yard and the bison. But they don't. It doesn't usually smell. It doesn't usually smell.
Really?
I don't think it does. Okay. I've never. Mm-hmm. You know, when it first comes out, mm-hmm. it's like, whoa, holy mother of God!
If you're just lucky enough to
well,
be around,
Elliot's, you know, when oh, Elliot
right,
goes
right,
that first whiff that is like, whoa, but. I will have to say I do Elliot's dog cleaning out in the backyard about once a week. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not every day like I mm-hmm. should be. But anyway, so, you know, he said, yeah, I'll take care of it. And
did he?
Well, I guess not fast enough because certainly then he got a letter from the neighbor.
Oh, wow.
Just saying that, hey, I thought that we had an understanding that you were going to take care of this. And so then David's brother puts the letter up on Facebook.
The letter.
And I was...
And so now there's a whole...
conversation about how dare this guy send
you a
letter.
There's a whole narrative of stirring here.
Oh, exactly.
Everybody's
taking sides. And mostly on the sides of the brother.
Of course.
Because he's your friend, right? And family. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't have any sides in this game. Because in one hand... If I was a neighbor, I probably would have just not mentioned it. Mm-hmm. I don't think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine how bad the smell was. I just mm-hmm. don't know.
Well, also the kids.
Yeah.
You know, coming.
And maybe that's just their neighborhood.
And then they are walking through his yard.
Which is very weird, too. I wouldn't want
people
walking. See,
because we're out in the country, I mean, I can imagine where they live in the city. It's house, 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 house.
Yeah.
I mean, it could get smelly. And it could
that's
get.
That's true.
And Will Rogers said, hey, good fences make good neighbors.
And that's ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
I'm saying that again, ain't that the truth?
Maybe it wasn't Will Rogers. Maybe it was Mark Twain. Mm. Are they one and the same?
No, they're not.
Okay.
They're not one and the same.
In my mind, they are.
Yes. And I just heard a really great Mark Twain quote, and I can't remember what it is. Oh, he said it was from the movie The Big Short. I loved.
Loved it. Didn't yes. understand it, but loved it.
And I loved it more than you, I think. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning it says, it's not what you don't know yeah. that gets you in trouble.
Right.
It's what you think you know, but you're wrong yeah. that gets you in trouble.
Isn't that true?
Exactly. That, and I thought, Mark Twain, I'm like, that's an awesome quote.
Yeah.
Now, here's the situation we want to talk about it with through Pillar Talk. How big does this have to be now that's on Facebook? Mm-hmm. It now we're all having to talk about it and dress mm-hmm. it. I mean, I wonder what kind of processes do we have, or just how could we have dealt with this better, or, you know, and so mm-hmm. forth. I know that there are times, if you think about, like, okay, I've got a kind of a crappy neighbor. Typically, crappy neighbors, you really can't deal with them one-on-one.
Logically. Rationally.
Nor can you deal with them even using any other means. Mm-hmm. They're crappy for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I know that we had a crappy neighbor one time.
Yeah, and we lived in Wooddale.
And I know how you addressed that issue.
Yeah.
You moved.
We moved. Well, they built a house, and they had their dog literally tied up,
yes,
right next to our bedroom window.
Yes.
And the dog barked continuously, and not just a yelp, but no. And he was tied up, he was tethered, and it was,
yeah,
it was sad, really,
right.
24/7 this dog had no movement. And you know, I think we asked him, and we had thought about maybe getting some kind of a dog sedative and giving him a hamburger. I mean,
yes,
literally. Then we just decided, let's move.
Well, and also because you tried talking to them.
Yes.
And actually, other neighbors were involved as well. And the police were called a couple of times as for noise patrol.
Right.
Like, please, can you do something?
Right.
Nothing could ever be done.
No.
And also the dog then bit my brother.
Yes.
Right in the tush. Big, ooh, huge. Because at that point, because we were living in the suburbs,
yes,
house by house by house by,
yes,
house.
Yes.
You did have to cross backyards to get to the other neighbors' houses.
Yes.
And, I mean, literally, I think Greg, I'm not even sure if he was in their yard. The dog might have been in our yard.
Possibly.
And then you just decide, you know what? We're moving.
We're moving.
I don't want to spend another,
no,
year of not having this be addressed,
right,
be dealt with,
right,
whatever. And it's interesting because Doug's mom has had an issue with a neighbor for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
They live in the country and they have probably 15 acres. Mom does. And the neighbor has 15 acres.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a real crappy house, but it's rented out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the problem. Who cares about that? The problem is this: the rest of the property they turned into a
motocross.
So they, yeah, have these huge hills,
humps and lumps
all over their yard, yeah, and they have motocross motorcycles.
And every Sunday, it's,
yes, and it's not. And they didn't get a permit for it. They,
no,
didn't ask. Hey, can we just change what these, you know? These are homes that live next to each other.
Right.
So they're 15 acres, but the 15 acres are mostly long.
Long, yeah.
So it looks like house.
Right.
House.
Yeah.
And he just tore up his yard and,
right,
just put these big. And so a 10-year battle. And sometimes some of the brothers of, you know, the sons would get in fights with the other family.
Mm-hmm.
And just horrible, horrible situation. And they're still fighting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's been resolved. The county has sent letters to, mm-hmm, them saying, you're not allowed to do this. And guess what? Nothing has changed.
And they're thinking of moving, Doug's mom. And
finally. I think we would have moved a long time ago. Because
we just don't see the point in that kind,
no,
of fighting.
No.
We really don't.
I remember Adam Carolla talking about, I love Adam Carolla's podcast. I haven't listened to it in a while, but I remember one time he mentioned how Howie Mandel had a...
Who was a neighbor of his or
a,
no?
A neighbor of his in Malibu, or they knew enough of each other. They lived in Malibu.
Right.
And Howie Mandel supposedly had this really intrusive neighbor.
Right.
Who would literally break into his house or pop over all the time and just be annoying.
Yeah.
And so they decided to
move.
Yeah, they just decided to move and sell their house.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if this is true or not, but then Adam Carolla said that once they sold, the new owners called Howie saying, what's wrong with your neighbor? I threatened to shoot him one time,
whoa,
because he showed up at my house looking for you.
You know, that's the thing we don't really think about. Is,
yes,
that, like, when we move,
yes,
that somebody else comes in and it's their problem. You know, that's not right.
It's not right.
In some
but
sense.
But sometimes, though, it is a connection between people.
It is, yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that the next person's going to,
I really don't believe it does.
I agree, yeah.
And also, too, like that dog, he had a shelf life.
Right.
I mean,
right,
we dealt with him for probably, I don't know. I mean, he was an adult when they moved in.
Right.
And he was still an adult when we left. Eventually, that dog would have passed away.
Right.
Now, I don't know if they would have gotten, yeah, another dog.
Well, and also, too, I remember when we lived in a different home in the subdivision, I was taking a shower and I heard somebody going, hey, hello, hello. And one of our neighbors had just walked into our house.
Right.
I mean, we knew it was, you know, country friendly
right.
out here, but yeah. we didn't know it was that country friendly.
So we learned by then that fences make good neighbors and locked doors.
Locked doors make good neighbors.
Good neighbors, exactly. Right. I, you know, so here's that pillar talk. I don't know what we're surmising, except that sometimes, honestly, there's nothing that can be done with a situation mm-hmm. except for taking yourself out of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that may be the best, sanest way, right. as opposed to making a big deal about it.
Well, yes, you know, because certainly, and certainly this idea of putting it on Facebook and having everybody discuss it and
right,
talk about it,
right.
I felt it really turned to, and I think that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I was just shocked. I was just shocked by it.
It just made more of a mess than it was.
For sure.
Talking about a real mess, right?
Dog poop. And then I realized this is one reason why I have a hard time being on Facebook for any length of time mm-hmm. because there's always something out there that's...
It always turns, doesn't it? It
turns out slightly, I guess. I choose not to focus on that.
You know what we have to do today, girlfriend? Mm-hmm. We've got some dog poo to take care of on Daddy's shoes.
Yes.
He left it for us.
He left it for us. So we'll have to take care of that. All right, everyone. I want to say thank you very much for being part of yes. Life with the Girlfriends. And we've missed you guys so
yes,
much.
It's so good to be back.
And we've got more to talk about, more
yes,
to do.
Yes, lots more.
Go to theclutterflyeffect.com.
And get your freemium. Is that what I'm calling
it? Yeah, your freemium.
The 7 A's. How to get what you want without breaking a sweat.
Adios, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I was the yay girl. I was the yay girl.